And so the message this morning starts with a question, and that is, how would you like to be a model? How would you like to be a model? You know, I think in some ways, when it comes to the real shallow aspect of ourselves, we all want to be the person with that look, you know, in terms of someone that, you know, turns heads in terms of what we look like. I think we certainly put efforts towards that in terms of, you know, washing ourselves or fixing our hair or putting on the makeup or the clothes or whatever, kind of having that look. But I would encourage you to think in terms of what other ways do we use this word model. Actually, before we do that, I do have a couple of model jokes, though. Why do models smile in a lightning storm? Because they think their pictures are being taken. And why did the model bring lipstick and eyeshadow to school? Because she had a makeup exam. So now I want you to think of all the things, all the other ways we use the word model. You know, you have model aircraft, right? Model things that, again, are you know, that whole idea of modeling is about imitating something. You know, you have model citizens, right? You have model students. I think a Memorial Day is a fine thing in terms of what we think about modeling because we remember people that have sacrificed so much because, again, they're a model of service. They're a model of courage and bravery, all the things that we would desire to be, remembering that in terms of all the things we have because they have done what they have done. And so, therefore, the question of you being a model isn't so much that, but it's what Paul would represent in this passage in terms of what he sought to be for the Philippians. And so after coming out of this great passage, really this great verse that speaks about the way that we would think, you know, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. But then in verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And so again, we're not talking about a model citizen, a model, you know, this or that, a model athlete or whatever, not this kind, but a model believer. Being a model believer, being someone worthy of imitation. Are we seeking, are we open to the idea of what God would do for us? I think the first thought I would want us to focus on, though, in terms of what Paul ultimately talks about, you know, going from what we're thinking to what we're doing, when he says here at the end of verse 9, put it into practice, to realize the Christian life is not just about thinking certain things or saying certain things, but doing certain things. I mean, not just thinking, but doing. I mean, actions do speak louder than words. Like, you can say all you want in terms of what you would seek to be, what you desire to be, but until you put it into practice, until you're actually effectively making choices in how your life is changing based in the will of God and the Word of God and the power of God, you know, what you think or what you say really doesn't matter. But really look at what Paul lays out here in terms of what he says about himself and the example that he would set and the model he would seek to be. Again, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me. I mean, effectively what Paul is doing, he tells them to look at every facet of himself and his interaction with them. And what I would ask you is, would you do the same thing? Could you do the same thing? And if not, why not? You know, just think about all that God would seek to make you in terms of embracing his power, embracing his truth, embracing all the principles that he gives us for our lives, and seeking to be a model of that. Like, could you, like, think about the last week. Think about the last month. Think about what you have said. Think about what you have thought. Think about, you know, again, what behavior, you know, what interactions you've had. Like, would you say to someone, hey, look at how I handled that situation. Look at how I engaged with that problem. Look at how I dealt with that difficult person. Be like me. I mean, effectively, that's what Paul is saying. And when you think about all the things that would be contained in whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me. Again, that's everything in terms of what they observed about Paul. And again, if you wouldn't do that, if you wouldn't set yourself as a model, then you should ask yourself, why not? You know, many times it would be because I'm not model material. I'm not one to put up on a pedestal and say, look at this, this is the best, that this is the highest of what Jesus would want me to be. But then I would say to you, is that a goal? Like, is that an appropriate goal for you to think about? That ultimately how you conduct your lives, how you interact with God, how you embrace and welcome Him in terms of His influence in your life, would you seek to be that? Because what's interesting to me is that for you to be a model believer, there's nothing stopping you to do that than your willingness to be used by God. Other models, you're a model of physique, you're a model of, you know, looks, or a model of athletics or whatever. You know, you might have some talent that you have to bring to the table, some measure of intellect or ability that you have. But to be a model believer? You know, and for us, I think a country could do a lot in terms of just redefining what beauty is. See, because to me, that's beautiful. You take someone that, again, is expressing the character of God, expressing the love of God, expressing the mercy, the kindness of love, sharing the truth of God in grace, loving people unconditionally, loving enemies, you know, expressing truth even in the context of deception, but doing that in a gracious way, that is a beautiful thing. And it translates to regard and honor and modeling. Boy, I wish I could do that. I mean, have you ever seen someone interact in a situation and they did something completely different than what you would do, but boy, that really would be what Jesus would say. Oh boy, that's really what Jesus would do. And that's what we're talking about. More and more of your life, of my life, being about what people could model, what you could model for people, being an example. Again, how many of us, if we were writing a letter, people, wouldn't put this? Like, it's fine to say, look at Jesus. Look at how Jesus was. Look at what he did. Look at what this guy did. Or this is the truth of God. Just be like this. It's a completely different thing to say, look at me. Like, you want to know what the Word of God says. You want to know what the power of God looks like. You want to look at what everything that God would desire for a person, how it translates to real living. Yep, just look at me. Now, I would say that, you know, maybe some of us could say that, like, to strangers. Like, there's an aspect of Paul writing this to the Philippians, and, okay, they haven't been been with him. Like, but could I say this to my family? Like, the people that know me best? Like, yeah, I might be a model believer over here, but, oh, how about that situation in terms of dealing with that teenager or dealing with, you know, the things that come across our path in terms of what? We spent that money where and why and all the, you put that chair there or you picked that color for the house, like all the things that come up. You know, you bought the rabbit? Why? What? You know, again, what are we a model of how we would internalize that, how we would do that? And so again, you know, I mean, and realistically, the other thing that comes from this is we really are all models. See, you are a model. People are looking at you. People are being affected by you. You know, when I see my kids doing things that I have done wrong, what a humbling thing that is as a parent, huh? Where all of a sudden, you know, why is my kid so reactionary? Ooh, I guess I was pretty reactionary. You know, why did he say that? Or why does she do that? Oh yeah, that kind of is like me. You know, again, we are all models. We are effectively affected by each other. So when you act in a certain way on a consistent basis, you talk in a certain way on a consistent basis, people take that in. People that are close to you take that in. So we're all models, so therefore the decision really is, what kind of model are you going to be? Are you going to be a model of who you are? Are you going to come up with the best of what you can think of and what you can conjure up and, you know, the truth that you have and the ways that you've figured out how to deal with life and experiences you've gone through? Or are you going to model Jesus? You know, there's an aspect of what we bring to the table as far as what we would model of. Again, this is how you handle your finances. Let me talk about how you handle your finances. Or again, this is how you build a shed. Let me model how you build a shed. You know, there's a lot of things that we can pass along, but what most defines us? Is it our ability in the things of the world, or is it in our knowledge of God? Is it in the character of God? Is it based on the power of God coming over us, changing our hearts, changing our minds? So now, yeah, let me imitate, let me model this for you. You know, it really does translate to an opportunity to talk about discipleship. I mean, Paul speaking in this way really highlights the issue of discipleship and the priority it should have in our lives. Now, the priority doesn't necessarily come from this passage, but the priority does come from Jesus. But really, effectively, what Paul would be saying here is, as I put myself out as an example, as I say, model this. You think about how you would be. Look at me. Think about how I dealt with that. You do the same. Put that into practice. You know, like that is discipleship. That is what discipleship is in terms of modeling behavior that people would then imitate, and then they're living out the Christian life, not just because they've engaged with the Word of God. It's not but just because they've engaged with the Holy Spirit. It's because they have engaged with you. And that's really what discipleship is all about. The priority does, though, come from Jesus. I mean, after all, it was Jesus' last command. Like when Jesus is leaving the earth, you know, he's given them an amazing download of information in the upper room that we find in John 14. But then as he's dealing with the disciples, as he's about to go, he says, go. Go and make disciples. Go outside of yourself. Don't stay where you are emotionally, mentally, physically even, in terms of staying in the space that you are, and go. Go across the street. Go to the next cubicle. Go to the next day, whatever it might be, in terms of go and make disciples. Like, the point is not just to make believers, it's to make students. It's to make people aware of the knowledge of God. The two things that Jesus points to in Matthew 28 is baptize them and share all the things, like share the truth and the knowledge that they would have in terms of the action they would have, you know, exposing them to, I'm sorry that I'm butchering that passage, but again, it's baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Holy Spirit, it's about sharing the truth of God. Again, the mind just goes. But the whole point being that is Jesus' emphasis. Like when Jesus thinks about, how am I going to transform the world? How is the world going to be impacted by my message in my life? Teaching them all the commands. See, it will come. See how it'll come in spurt. But anyways, but the whole point, that's the way Jesus desires to change the world. That one person takes the faith and influence that God has had on them and translating that to someone else. And so therefore it is person to person. You really don't disciple people in groups effectively. You know, maybe you might think about one person sitting down with a couple of three people. You know, maybe. But the idea is more about personal interaction. You know, a thought that I've had recently, in terms of just like, again, what are we thinking in terms of the Christian life? What are we trying to accomplish in terms of taking what I know about Jesus and sharing it with other people? And I would encourage you to think of three people in your life that you know that don't believe in Jesus. Forget about the world. Forget about Africa. Forget about, you know, Ohio. What three people that you know that don't know Jesus? And then what are you going to do to try to make that person a disciple? What am I going to do to pray for them, to care for them, to share the truth of Christ, and to keep pursuing them in the context of that, to ultimately bring them both to the knowledge of Christ and in salvation, but then the truth of Christ in terms of Christian living and what they would become? And just think of it in that in those terms. And engage in that, you know, approach life in that way. Think that is a priority that you should have. I think that's the way that all of us should be thinking about life. Again, 3 to 5 people, 3 people, 2 people, whatever. The number is not important. Like, I would never want you to check a box. But the point being, think of a small number that is manageable for you and engage with that person and try to again, make the knowledge of Christ be known to them. But then the whole point is teaching them all that I have taught you, teaching them commands, teaching them the knowledge of Christ. And like I said, discipleship is simply passing off your life in Christ to someone else, right? It's simply passing off your life in Christ to someone else. It starts with having a life in Christ. You know, the first thing you need to have to be a discipler is, do you have a life in Christ? Again, do you have something that is worthy to pass along? Like, I would say that either if you're not ready to be a discipler, then you should be being discipled. Everyone, every believer should think in terms, if I'm not ready to disciple, then therefore I should put myself under discipleship. But I would encourage you to think that you may have more than you think. Like, it's okay if you, like, as opposed to you thinking, no, I'm a great believer. I do model the things of Christ, so bring all these people to me and I'll tell them what's up. You know, I would much rather have someone say, no, I really can't do that, Pastor. I don't really. But then let me point to you, no, you do have a life in Christ. I have seen where your faith is shown. I recognize the knowledge and wisdom that you have. You have, like, again, this is not about being perfect. It's never about being perfect. Like, I've got it, all the I's dotted, all the T's crossed. You know, every question I'm asked, I could answer. Everything that God would ask me for, I've done. No. But do I have enough of the knowledge of Christ where now I can go to someone else where I pass that along? But again, that is a requirement. That is something. Again, if you say, yes, I want to be a model, answering that first question. Now, do you want to be a model? Yes, I do. Not like the model that most people think, but I want to be a model believer. But then I want to take the model of who I am and pass it on to someone else. That's the whole point of the Christian life. And so what I would do to build someone up in their life, again, because I have a life in Christ, I know the power of God, I'm seeking the power of God, I'm overcoming sin, I'm in the Word, I'm seeking His wisdom. Every now and then I express that wisdom. You know, when people come around me, they recognize that you're a person, what I see in you is not you. I see Jesus. I see God. Like I see that you're a man or a woman that is at least seeking the things of God. That if I'm broken and I'm wrong, well, I'm confessional and I'm forgive. You know, I repent and whatever it would be. Like, I fix. But it's all the reference point to God. And what I want you to see in me is not me. I want you to see Jesus. So if you have that life in Christ, well then, again, if you don't have it, then get it. And I would propose if you're not ready to be a discipler, you should be being discipled. Then it is about having intentional relationship. In other words, I have this life in Christ. God has built me up in the knowledge of who He is, and that power, that knowledge is transforming me. Again, I'm putting it into practice. You know, I'm thinking noble thoughts. I'm thinking things that are true. I'm thinking things that are right. You know, my heart is in line and my behavior is in line too in terms of what I'm being. Now, what relationships am I intentionally seeking out? You know, a point that's on the next slide is it is wonderful when discipleship happens organically, as opposed to being structured, as opposed to, okay, who wants to be discipled? Okay, who's ready to be a discipler? And okay, so you're there, so you go to that. Like, it's beautiful. Like, you just get to know people. Someone walks in the church that is new, not to highlight anyone that's new this morning, but like, and don't always, don't everyone go, but boy, I wonder where they are in faith. Like, are they a strong believer? Like, someone could walk into the church for the first time, and you're practically ready to be a discipler because you're mature in the Word and the knowledge of God and the Spirit of God and prayer and all those different things. But some people are walking in because they're just seeking God. We've had people walk in here, like, God told me to come here. Like, how do I explain why I'm here? God told me to come here, so I'm here. Awesome. I've been praying to God, please do that more. Can we have more people like that are just guided by your Spirit to come? But again, it's not like, oh, you're a task, but just form relationship. And now all of a sudden, have you have conversation with people. Hey, boy, you're a new, how'd you like to get up for coffee? Hey, I've got this great book over here, you know, that we can go through. We can, you know, work through the Gospel of John or the book of Ephesians or whatever it might be. But again, being intentional, like when you think about how the world normally thinks about relationships, right? Really, it's what people think like me, what people do the things I like to do, what are the people that agree with me more? Like, so therefore now there's a harmony in personality, there's a harmony in you know, opinion, and we like to do the same things. Oh, great. So, or we form relationships because, hey, that guy's a plumber and I need some plumbing. So let me have a relationship with the plumber. And so all of a sudden, you know, sometimes, you know, the world, not believers never do that, right? No, we should never do, like again, our agenda is, what does Jesus want? Who am I engaging with? Well, you know, because this really goes beyond just to be an encouragement, just to be someone that's building someone up in their faith. But again, being intentional about that, like particularly if you're a discipler, you're a person, yeah, I do have a life in Christ. Let me see who God would want in this congregation even that I should invest my life in them. Or if you don't have someone, go find someone. That's even better. What neighbor do I have? What family member do I have? Who do I go to the Y with? Again, who's a person I shop with that I always see in the store? Like an engaging conversation, intentional relationship. Then thirdly, you know, making a time to meet. Again, this is not like, hey, I'll see you, let's talk in for 5 minutes, you know, at church. This is, again, when can we get together? When can, again, I take time to share the information that I have, to answer questions you might have in terms of your Christian life or the things you've confronted and so on and so forth. You know, I would say, you know, I almost wanted to put make intentional time to meet, focus time to meet, but it wouldn't fit on the line. So in other words, bring something. Like, what are we going to, like, let's not just shoot the breeze. Let's just not talk about the Red Sox or whatever. Let's talk about Jesus. And what things of Jesus do you have a question on? Here's what I would want you to understand in terms of the knowledge of Jesus that I have. I think most typically, in terms of the next slide, most typically it is a more mature believer coming alongside a newer believer. You know, that's usually what discipleship is, and I think it's a good model, it's a good pattern in terms of how we would understand that. And so I would say that it is much easier to disciple someone who wants to be discipled than just do a catch-as-catch-can. So I would say to any new believer, anyone that would seek to grow in their faith, anyone that there's a gap in their understanding of the life of Christ in them, you come to me, you come to an elder, you come to a person in the Woman of Hope and say, I would like to be discipled. And I hope that they will find someone that it's fitting to disciple you. But I think that is the most important unction that would be on us as believers and as a congregation. Let me just put it out. I like everything else we do. But you're like, barring the opportunities that Sunday school, teen ministry, Trail Life, American Heritage Girls gives you to do this, you know, just understand there are things that are automatically here that you, boy, I have no idea who I want to disciple. Serve in Trail Life. Serve with the Heritage. There are a boatload. There are 30 boys that probably need discipleship. And there are 30, 40 girls that need discipleship in terms of what you would do to take your life and pour it into someone else. But the point, what I'm saying here is, though, if you're a new believer here, like, I think there's also an aspect that we can't necessarily know where you are. like I just assume, like, I give a message and you get it. Like, I assume that you're kind of in the Word and praying and, you know, worshiping and doing the things that God wants you to do. But I don't know how far they get. Like, when you think about, hey, here I am, here's the mark of what being a model is. I'm not there, I'm here. So what gaps exist? You know, far better for you to say, hey, I would like to be discipled. And then the unction that is on us as a congregation is, okay, we got to do that. And there's an aspect of, again, barring what exists in ministries that happens, nothing else is more important. Nothing is more important than that. And maybe I apologize for maybe not making that the priority it should be within the congregation. I feel like through the years and the 25 years we've been doing church, every now and then I kind of put out an initiative and, oh, let's do discipleship. Hey, elders. Hey, deacons. Oh, you willing to call these people? Are you willing to meet for coffee with these people? You know, hey, the people I identify. You know, and it's again, when you do it structurally, you know, all I can say, it hasn't happened. But I know things that have happened organically, that it has happened, that people have without asking me, or like all of a sudden I find this, hey, this person's having coffee with this person. They're talking about Jesus. Great. but there is an aspect of, yeah, I'm a new believer, and so I need to be taken from soup to nuts to hear. Or again, I would like to be a discipler, but there's a gap that exists. Please let us know. You know, because we'll do the second point now. So more typically, again, when you think about discipleship, it's more a mature believer coming alongside a newer believer. But I think it's also anyone that needs help being assisted by someone who can help. Again, you're struggling with the thing. You're having a problem with the thing. You've entered a dark period of your life. You're depressed. You're angry. You're lustful. Please help. But that's what we need. Again, we need to be available to each other. Like, you don't have your life in Jesus to keep it to yourself. And you know, your life in Jesus is, again, it is about unbelievers. It is about passing your faith to other people. But it is about passing your faith to believers, that they would be strengthened in their faith. So again, whatever organically or structured, you know, again, I would want to do whatever I need to do to make that happen. I know I've said this before, but I'll say it again. You want anything. Anything. Well, yeah, maybe this is let's meet at, you know, Nordic Lodge. You know, like, anything you need in terms of discipling. So I would really love to have this book. I'd really like to have this Bible study. I'd really like to have this thing. I would do that. We would, again, no holds barred in terms of helping you be the discipler that you want to be. But, you know, my intent in adding some structure, some definition to this is a call to everyone who feels like they should be discipled, they want to be discipled. You come to me, to Steve, to Steve and Steve, to Mark, to the ladies, to Karen, Noella, Amy, Cammie, Amy. Did I say Amy twice? Amy. You know, again, you know, if you're a woman, you should go to the women's ministry. And if you're a man, you should go to the elders and deacons. Spencer and... I remember Josiah. I'm trying to think of Ken. But those being the deacons, you know, that you go to them. And like the way the Bible speaks in these terms, if you're not willing to do that, you have to think, what am I doing in the first place? Like if I'm either not trying to grow in my faith to the point where I have a life in Christ where I can actually be the model, imitate me, whatever you heard me say, do, think, just about, do it, put it into practice. If you're not seeking to be a model, or you're not willing to come under someone where you're being discipled by someone, what? Like, what's the point? No, okay, it's not, like, I feel that gap is, maybe I don't need to take someone's time, or, like, I'm going to just, you know, be in the Word, I'm going to be in the Spirit, I'm going to be in prayer, and, but Pastor, I'll be that model, give me 3 months to really work. Again, I don't know what's in your heart, I don't know where you are. So, but everyone should be thinking in these terms. That's part of being a believer. It's part of being a part of a local assembly. Is again, what do I do to make myself available to other people to help them grow in their faith? And so be praying, be thinking, be talking to me and the elders in terms of just where you are. And so that is that. You know something? This is just a cute picture. Isn't that a cute? We got. I messed up the text box here. I'm not a tech person. So again, I could only fit that in because the text box was doing something strange. So I have this just because I like the picture. So maybe we just deal with verse 10 very quickly before we get into just a little topic of contentment. Where it said going from there. Well, you know something. We'll just bring that back because. Yeah, what I think I'm going to finish verse 9, and that's what I'm going to do. So again, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. You know, again, do it, and then the God of peace will be with you. And so when Paul does that at the end of verse 9, knowing what he has said in verses 4 through 7, in terms of don't be anxious about everything, but in all things by prayer and petition, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I believe what Paul is doing is that, you know, when we seek the peace of God, it's not just about that dynamic of 4 through 7, it's also 8 and 9. Like the peace of God is also found in right thinking. The peace of God is found in right behavior, in right practice, doing what we're supposed to do, knowing the very thing that this thinking would lead me to. Again, as I'm thinking noble thoughts, as I'm thinking true thoughts, as I'm thinking about what is right, now what am I going to put into practice? And the peace of God is there as well. You know, a thought that I had in terms of, you know, going through verse 8 in terms of whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is all those things. You know, and I said last week that I really do believe that makes us, as believers, positive thinkers. God encourages positive thoughts. But what we have to be aware of is that when we are having positive thoughts, we will deal with negative people and negative circumstances. And so a thought that came to mind for me is, how about thinking in terms of treating a negative thing in a positive way? And I believe that's what God allows us to do in terms of, okay, here's this really negative thing. Here's this conflict I'm going through. Here's this difficult person I'm dealing with. Here's this bad circumstance that I have. Okay, yes, it's bad, and it's a negative thing, But how can I deal with it in a positive way? What can I think about in terms of what is true about what's going on here? What is noble? What is right? What is admirable? What is praiseworthy? See, to me, that brings the aspect of God into every situation. So again, now this is a negative situation I'm dealing with, but you know, my heart, my thoughts are preoccupied with, again, what is God's agenda? What does God want? What does God provide in the context of this? And so even though this is a bad thing that we're dealing with, can we do it in a positive way? And I think I said this last week. Sometimes I can't remember what I said and what I thought, but just in case, I'll repeat myself if I am. Just imagine dealing with a conflict, dealing with something that's happening in a relationship, and before you deal with the issue, before you try to make a decision about what's going to happen, to sit down and say, what's true in this matter? What's noble in this matter? What's right in this matter? What's pure? What's lovely? What's admirable? And actually, let's stop fighting about the thing and think about, how would God define this? Or again, what do you believe is true? What do you believe is true about my motivation or my desire? What do you believe is true about the issue? Like, how many times do you find yourself arguing with someone about something and you just completely must have misunderstood what they were even saying, what they were wanting, what they were trying to accomplish? Well, I didn't know you were thinking that. I know I've been in situations where you spend a few minutes arguing about something and then, well, this is why I want that. Well, I didn't know that's what you would like. Again, if I knew that, things would change. But in terms of what, I mean, ultimately what we would model in the context of how that translates to practice, how it translates to reality, you know, taking this great thinking that Paul is encouraging in verse 8 and then putting it into practice. How can I use that in terms of the practicality of dealing with a certain situation, a relationship that I have? But then that then translating to, again, what, you know, how am I becoming as a believer so that now I can model that behavior, model my life before other people? And so with that, let's bow our heads and let's pray. And so, Father, we are grateful for the kingdom you welcome us in. We thank you for how we are transformed by that kingdom, by that economy, in terms of all you are and all you enable and what we then become. Father, I pray that we would be more conscientious, more intentional about how we would seek people out to invest our lives in other people. That ultimately other people become better because they have interacted with us. I pray that we would seek to be models, that we would grow in the faith to the point where, yes, I can be the standard. Yes, I can be the one that is looked to because I know God, I love God, I'm pursuing God, I'm obeying God, I'm doing the best I can in terms of what I would model and what I would promote, how I would think, how I would talk, how I would act. And Father, I pray that more and more, again, we would be thinking in terms of discipleship and then taking Jesus' heart in Matthew and translate that to how we think about our lives and what we would seek to be to each other. I do pray that your hand would be upon this. I pray that you would accomplish things beyond what I can even imagine, what we can even imagine in the context of this. But I think Jesus meant it when he said, go and make disciples. Yes, teaching them what I have commanded you. And so, Father, we lift it all before you in the name of your Son, Jesus.